Ed and Rebecca Lee are from our San Jose church, and I've known Ed for 30 plus years. He's a little bit younger than me, but we grew up together in kids' Sunday school and whatnot. But it's really our privilege to hear from Ed and Rebecca. They have been serving in Hong Kong for the last 6 years. And out of those 6 years, at first they were serving in a ministry called St. Stephen's Society that really ministered to the drug addicts and to the triad, the gang members. And then recently in the last 3 years, they have been ministering to migrants that are in Hong Kong. And he'll be sharing more with us about that. But they have been ministering to Muslim and Hindu kids and their families. And so it's a very unique ministry that Ed and Rebecca are involved with. But let's just welcome Ed as he shares with us, and you'll meet Rebecca later, but they also have two kids, Bethany and Emmanuel, but we just want to welcome you to New Vine as you bring the Word of God to us today.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you. Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Ed.
It's good to be here. I've heard so much about New Vine. I come back to the U.S. every 2 years, and the last time I was here 2 years ago, New Vine was just about to be launched, and I heard so many wonderful things about it. So I'm happy to finally be here and see everyone here. So it's good to be back in the Bay Area. I'm originally from the San Jose church, and it's good to see familiar faces and new faces. So it's really great. And yeah, I did know Douglas. It's probably 40 years actually, but he was always encouraging. We didn't always go to church every Sunday, but every time when I did see us, Douglas was so nice and always welcomed me, so thank you. That planted all the seeds. So, it's special that we're back here. I mean, that's in the San Jose Church, that's where we came to the Lord, that's where we got baptized, that's where me and my wife got married, that's where we got filled with the Holy Spirit, so many signs, miracles, and wonders. And that's where we were sent out. So now we are serving in Hong Kong, actually. We are serving in Hong Kong, and we are serving Muslims and Hindus from the countries of Pakistan and Nepal. And they've immigrated to Hong Kong for a hope of a better life. And if you know that in Pakistan and Nepal, actually they are one of the most unreached people groups in the whole world. There's less than 2% is Christian. And if you go to those countries to share the gospel, it could cost you your life. It's illegal, and there's persecution if you share the gospel. But in Hong Kong, when they've come to Hong Kong, God has opened the door, has given us the freedom to share the gospel with these Muslims and Hindus, immigrants to Hong Kong. So we're going to show a video of what God is doing in Hong Kong with Muslims and Hindus.
Great are you, Lord.
Raise your hands, all your nations.
praying for us. We praise God. God is really opening the doors in Hong Kong. So one of the main platforms we use to that we're using to reach the Pakistan Nepalese, how we're helping them is that we have a tutoring center. And because as immigrants from Pakistan and Nepal, one of the biggest challenges for the children is to learn Chinese in Hong Kong. And as you can imagine, it's very hard to learn Chinese, right? But in Hong Kong, the educational system is very intense. So this is one way that we're helping meet their felt needs. So Monday through Friday, we have a tutoring class that we help them with the Chinese. We also help them with math and general studies. And it's really growing. We have about 30 students right now, and it's maxed out. The other thing that we're doing is that we have a kids club on Saturday. On kids club, this is where we get to share the gospel with these Pakistan Nepalese children. And this is where they hear about Jesus, experiencing the love of Jesus for the very first time. And there we also, we do Bible studies, we read the Bible with them, play games, sing songs, have crafts, and it is a lot of fun. And we praise God, but that's also growing. We have over 50 students as part of the kids club, and we're really packed right now. One thing that God has been really emphasizing on us is that to pray. So this year, we really put a focus on prayer, worship, and intercession. And in his mind, that has to be the foundation. That has to be the first work we do is prayer and intercession. And this year, we prayed more than ever before. And because of that, God has really opened the doors and a lot of divine appointments and persons of peace that we're meeting. So really praise God for that. And one of the biggest things God is doing is home visits. This year, we've been able to visit many homes of these students and children. It's really special because not everyone opens their home to us. And so it's really special that they can open their homes and trust us. And we go there, it's great because we get to really get to know them, build a relationship. We can understand their family life, understand more about their culture, and we get to pray for them. One example is that we visited one student, and when we were visiting her home, her father had an arm was hurting, and said, okay, can we pray for you? And we prayed for him, and he felt better. After we prayed for him, he felt better. So praise God. And then after, what was amazing was that after praying for him, the following week, he came to our center and he started to open up his heart to us. He started to share about his family, the problems he's having. His son is in the triads and just a lot of things he's opening up. And so we were able to pray for him. And the amazing thing is that he's actually coming to us as Christians to share. He's not going to the mosque, but he's coming to us, and we've been praying for that God opened doors that we can reach their heart and pray for them. So because of prayer, God is opening the door through that. Another thing God is doing is that we praise God, the ministry is growing, so we've been looking for ways to expand. For many years, right next to our center was a massage parlor. But that massage parlor is actually a brothel or prostitution. And, why right next to our center is a brothel, prostitution. So we called the landlord up and said, we asked about the tenant. It's like, we want this place, is there a possibility? And then the landlord said, oh, they just actually signed a 5-year lease. And I was like, oh my gosh, a 5-year lease. We don't want to be stuck. Our center right next to a brothel for another 5 years. All the children are coming. But we just said, okay, let's just pray. Let's just pray. And we just started praying more. We prayed. We start prayer walking the building. We go on the roof and just worship the Lord and just proclaiming the building for God. And we do that for the past year. And finally, this This year, there was a breakthrough. One day, we saw a chain and lock on the massage parlor. And we was like, what? What's going on? And then we contacted the landlord, and the landlord said, oh yeah, the Hong Kong police, they caught them doing something illegal, an illegal business. And that was a reason to break the five-year lease. So if you want this place, we'll give it to you. I said, praise God. We were like, "Woo, hallelujah. God is so good." And that just really lifted up our faith. Like, five-year lease, no problem. That's not a problem for God. And yeah, God can break a five-year lease. So now we've gotten this place. We praise God. So as you can see, that it used to be like a massage parlor, so it has all these like different rooms. But we just knocked it down, and we're gonna do a new thing. It's gonna be a hospitality center. So we're gonna, so when the kids are in the kids club or tutoring, we're gonna have like mommy tea time. We're gonna have like community nights. We're gonna invite the families for dinner, build relationship, talk to them, maybe have an alpha course. And we're calling it a lighthouse because it's gonna be a light, a place of light. So it used to be a place of darkness where there's perversion and human trafficking and all these disgusting things, but you know, God's redeeming it, and it's going to be a place where children and families, they're going to be healed, they're going to be saved, and they're going to receive the hope of Jesus. So we're really excited what God is doing in Hong Kong. So we really believe that God is doing something amazing with Muslims and Hindus in Hong Kong. And we're seeing it. There more and more, as we do outreach, we're seeing a lot more Muslim families, and when we're doing outreach in the public housing and the neighborhoods. And one thing that's really special in Hong Kong is that God is not just making an impact on individuals, but He's making an impact on a whole generation. We're not just sharing with adults, but we're sharing with a whole generation of young ones. And if you know, if you go to other countries, especially in Pakistan and Nepal, there's no way that we will be able to share the gospel with the children. So this in Hong Kong is very special that we do have an opportunity to share with them, and they're experiencing and hearing about Jesus for the very first time. However, we do need prayer. Because it is spiritual warfare, it is life or death. Because when they do make a decision to follow Christ, it will cost them. It may cost them their families, it may cost them their community, and it will be very dangerous. So they may first face persecution. So if you can remember us and pray, praying for the Muslims and Hindus in Hong Kong, that the gospel, the seeds of the gospel, continue to be planted, and that we can, and that they will be protected. And also pray for us. We need wisdom. We need discernment and how to do this, and we need favor. So if you could just remember us in prayer, we do need the spiritual covering. And if any one of you have a burden to pray for us, just if you could let us know afterwards, we can put you on the prayer list, and that would be great if you can remember us in prayer. Okay, so we're going to go with the word. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in Hong Kong, in the nations, in the Bay Area, and here in New Vine, God. You are good, God, and your kingdom is expanding, and we're excited at what you're doing, God. And God, today we want to hear from you more. Holy Spirit, come. Give us revelation of your word. Give us revelation of your word. Let your word pierce our hearts. Give us new understanding of what you want us to do and what your heart is for your kingdom. Thank you, Father God. We pray in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to go with today's reading, TW reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 18 to 18:31. I can't see it, so you guys, if you guys can read it. Yeah. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. But where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through his wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Okay. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When we're sharing the gospel, it seems like foolishness to the world. One question I always get when I come to the Bay Area, especially talking to my relatives who are my Chinese relatives, is that I say, when are you moving back to San Jose? And I answer, I really don't know. You know, we are following God's call. We are serving migrants and minorities in Hong Kong. And to some of my relatives, especially non-Christians, this doesn't make sense to them. So why are you living in Hong Kong serving migrants? You know, why did you quit your high-tech jobs? Why did you waste your education? All the time and money you spent to get your university degree, your master's degree, your wife as a CPA, you know, this is the reason why your parents moved from Hong Kong to America. This is the reason. Why are you doing such a thing? It doesn't make sense, and it almost seems irresponsible, especially the Chinese relatives. It's really irresponsible. And it doesn't make sense to move back to Hong Kong for all that. You know, why? Why are you doing such a foolish thing? And I can see it in their look, and sometimes I can see they're shaking their head, and it's hard to explain to them. But for those of us who know the cross, we know, right? We know the cross. We know the reason why. It begins with this in verse 26. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. So when I think about how I was before I was called, when I think about how I was before I was saved, I think back and I was nothing. I was nothing. I had nothing. I was so lost. I was so broken. And I was just immersed in my sin. I was on a path of destruction. But by God's grace, by his grace, he saved me. He forgave my sins. He healed me. and he gave me a new life. And I think about, like, what did I do to deserve his grace and mercy? And I think about all the sins I've committed, all the selfish, prideful, and all the things I've done. And I think, so what did I do to deserve our Lord, our King, to die for me? You know, what did I do to deserve it? And when I think about it, I'm just so thankful of his love. I'm just so thankful of the love he's given us. He's given me, and it's his love. It's his love that compels me to do foolish things. So, you know, I want you to think about how you were before you were called, before you were saved. Think about all the sins that you've committed. Think about all the selfish and prideful things you've done. What did you do to deserve God's grace and mercy? What do you do to deserve that he, the Lord, the King, that he would humble himself and die for you? It's his love, his foolish love that compels us to do foolish things. Sometimes when God calls you to do something, it doesn't make sense. When he calls you to do something, it may not feel good. It may not be comfortable. And sometimes he'll call you to do foolish things. When you look at this picture, who looks like they don't belong in this picture? I was like, okay, this is our outreach to Pakistani teenagers. And sometimes when I'm doing the outreach, I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I don't belong. I don't fit in. I'm not cool. I'm 44 years old. What am I doing hanging out with Pakistani teenagers in a band 3 school? In Hong Kong, there's in high school, there's 3 bands, okay? Band 1 is for the academic elite. Band 2 is for average students. And band 3 is for students with the lowest exam test scores, and those who are not interested in school, or they some are gang members. I remember the first time I started doing the outreach, I went to the classroom, and it was like a scene from the movies. Okay, the students look like they own the school. They're just like walking in and out of the classroom, throwing paper airplanes. Some of them wanted to fight. And I remember one student shouted, "I believe in Allah. I don't want to hear what you say." And they knew I was a Christian. So they thought I was probably going to share about Jesus, which I was. But they had all their defenses up. And I was traumatized. I was traumatized. So when I started to go, every time I go to the outreach, I'd get like butterflies in my stomach, and I have this anxiety. So, oh, you know, what's their attitude going to be today? Are they going to ignore me? Are they going to mock me? Are they going to make jokes behind my back? You know, what's going to happen today? And when I go, I was like, what am I doing here? I just feel so foolish. But one thing I always remember that keeps me going is the love of Christ. That the love of Christ is what compels me. I remember his love, and the precious opportunity for us to share the love of Christ with them, for them to know the love of Christ, is all worth it. Because there's nothing in this world that compares to the love of Christ, his sacrificial love, his forgiveness, his healing, his hope that he's given us. Nothing compares to it. And it's all worth it. It's all worth it. For them to know the love of Jesus is all worth it. Let's read this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If we are out of our mind, it's for God. It's for the sake of God. And we are not to live, we are to no longer live for ourselves, but we are to live for the one who died and rose again for us. Amen? So it's been 3 years since we've been doing the outreach, and I still have anxiety when I go there. Sometimes they still give me attitude. Sometimes they mock me, make jokes behind my back. But relationships has been built. We've been able to share our life with them, and they've been able to share their life with us, and we've been able to pray for them, and we've been able to share the Bible, and they we've been able to share about Jesus, and they've been ask us questions about Jesus also. So things, God is doing something, but it's not always easy. It's not always fast. But we just keep loving them. We just keep loving them as Christ keeps loving us. Sometimes people have this glorified idea of serving the poor. It says, oh, when you serve the poor, oh, they must appreciate you. They must embrace you. They must really love you. But that's not true. Not true all the time. I remember when we first started serving drug addicts and triad members in Hong Kong. When we first got there, they really liked me, but that was only for 3 months. And then when I became their leader, when I became their authority figure, that's when they started to hate me. Because I had to enforce the house rules, I had to enforce discipline, and if you know triad and gang members, I mean, their whole life has been against rebelling against authority. So it was actually hard. It was really hard because you'd love on them, but they have this black face towards you. One drug addict, one brother I really loved, and I poured out my heart to him. But he turned on me, and he wanted to fight me. I told him that he cannot cook his Nepalese meal. And because, you know, we have house rules, and we have a schedule. He cannot just do what he wants. And when I told him that, he just snapped, and he just wanted to attack me and fight me. And you know, I'm like over 40 years old, and so when someone physically threatens you and attacks you, like all this fear comes on you, and all this adrenaline, and I all my survival instincts come up. You know, should I cower in fear? Should I fight back, or should I just like be calm and staying still? But yeah, praise God, there was some staff and some brothers that was holding them back, and it was really an ugly scene. But when things settled down, actually, that's when it was hard, because now I had to make a decision, because he did violate the rules. He was physically violent, and he attacked the leader. So I had to make the decision, and should he leave or should he stay? I need to set an example for the house. And it was really hard, because when someone physically threatens you or attacks you, you just have this fear that comes on you. And I was just crying out to God. I was like, God, Lord, I don't want to make the decision out of fear. I want to make it out of love. God, please remove the fear. I want to make it out of love. I want to do what's right. And as I was making the decision, the whole house was watching, the triad members, because they were saying, what is Ed, the leader, going to do? Is he going to let him stay or let him go? And when I finally went to the brother who attacked me, he had already decided that he was going to go. He had packed up. But I said, "Hey, we're going to let you have a chance to stay. We're going to let you have a chance to stay. We forgive you. We're going to give you a chance." And we said that some of the brothers, they were like, "What? Why are you letting him stay? He attacked the leader. He should be kicked out. That's so foolish." But for us, I wanted to set the example of Christ's love, because Christ's love doesn't make sense. It is foolishness. I had to show that God's foolish love and showed him grace and mercy. Years later, I still keep in touch with some of the brothers, but unfortunately, even though they're off drugs, they still suffer from health problems because of the years of drug abuse. So that has really damaged their bodies, and many of them actually die very soon, very quickly. And even the last couple of years, I've been to many funerals. And even this last March, there was a brother that on Saturday, he called me and said, "Hey, you want a yamcha or have dim sum?" And I said, and then on Saturday, he tells me, and then on Sunday, he was gone. It was just like that. But there are some brothers where I was able to meet with them before they were gone. And one brother, I remember, he was barely moving, barely talking. He was really weak. But one thing, he was just holding my hand. He was just holding my hand and says, "Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Ed, for love. Thank you, Ed, for love." And I just remember that. And we go to a lot, when we go to these funerals for these brothers, is actually not a sad thing. It's actually very joyful. There's a lot of celebration because at these funerals for the brothers, there's lots of testimony about Jesus changing their life, lots of stories about how Jesus love and how what they're doing for God. And most of all, it's a celebration because these brothers are finally free, that they can go to the Abba Father and that they can go to heaven. So it's a joyful celebration. And, you know, it's a reminder that, you know, life is like that. Life is so short here on earth. But for Christ's sake, it's totally worth it to be a fool. It's totally worth it to be a fool. For the message of the cross, it's foolishness, right? But it's the power of God for those who are being saved. It's the power of God for those being saved. When you are called to do something for God, you will be challenged and you will be tested because it is life and death. It is spiritual warfare. And Satan's gonna try to sift you. But we are called to persevere. We are called to endure. And when we turn back, we are to strengthen our brothers and sisters, amen? I believe that everyone has a calling. Everyone's called to do something. No matter what your background is, no matter what your strength and weaknesses are, everyone has a calling. God made you and created you for a purpose. You have a calling. And no matter what, God's going to use you. His calling on your life is irrevocable. Some of you here, you're on fire. Passion for what God has called you to do. But some of you, you were on fire, but because of the busyness of life, your fire has been quenched. Or because of the temptations of this world, it has choked your fire. Or you've been taken off track. Some of you had a fire, but because of hurts, because of disappointments in life, because of failures, that has quenched your fire. But Jesus said this to encourage you. Let's read from Matthew 12, 20. "A bruised reed he will not break, And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. A bruised reed, a reed is a thin grass, and when it's bruised, there's a deep inner crushing. It's internally damaged. When you're looking on the outside, it looks whole, but inside it's dying. A bruised reed, it's weak, it's flimsy, it's very breakable. Just some wind or just some rain or just somebody walking by carelessly can break the bruised reed. But it says this, that Jesus will not break the reed. He will not break the reed. Jesus right there with you. He's waiting to restore you. A smoldering wick. What is a smoldering wick? You are a burning fire, but now you're just a smoldering wick. A smoldering wick is a fire that's nearly out. Just a spark remains. It's really weak, it's really exposed, and just a little breath, and it'll snuff it out. But Jesus is right there. He's not going to let you be snuffed out. And he's waiting for a time when you're going to be a full blast again. And when you repent, that means turning back to him, he's going to restore you and make you that full fiery blast again. Now, Peter was called by God. He had amazing calling from God. He was called to be fishers of men, and he was to be the rock in which the church was built upon. And when he was first called, he was on passion for the Lord. I will go with you to prison. I will go with you to the death, Lord. I will go with you to the death. But when in Jesus' most trying time here on earth, Peter fails miserably. He abandoned Jesus and denies Jesus. And it said that Peter wept bitterly. Just trying to imagine, he wept bitterly. So he may have been crushed by the shame and guilt. And then afterwards, he was, even after the resurrection, Peter wasn't following his call. He was doing his old thing. He was fishing. But Jesus didn't give up on him. Jesus gave him a chance, and he called Peter. And Peter returned. Peter returned to him, and Jesus reinstated him, restored him, and commissioned him. It's an awesome. Some of you, because of past mistakes or past failures, you may think that God can no longer use you. But that's not true. Jesus loves you and he can use you. You just repent and he's there for you. So when we're ministering to Muslims, one of the things is that Muslims, they also believe in Jesus. They call Jesus Isa. But the one thing they don't believe is that Jesus died on the cross. They just believe that Jesus went up to heaven like Elijah, just bypassing the cross. To them, the cross is foolishness. But to us, the cross is not foolishness. It is the power of God. Jesus, the Lamb of God, he came to earth and he sacrificed everything. He died and rose again on the cross, giving us victory over sin, giving us victory over death, giving us victory over all the powers of darkness, that by his crushed body, that by his stripes, he can heal us and he can restore us. and by his precious blood that he's poured out for us, that we can have forgiveness of sin, and that we can be washed and cleansed. So we're going to have a time of just coming to the Lord and just asking the Lord, how does he want us to respond? I just want us to just come before the Lord and just ask him. Just ask him, are you doing what God called you to do? Right now, are you doing what God called you to do? Are you devoted to God, or are you devoted to yourself? Are there things in your life that's holding you back from following what God called you to do? Just ask the Lord, is the busyness of life consuming you? Is there temptations and strongholds of the world that is really snuffling out your fire? Ask the Lord, what's holding you back? Where are you at now? Are there hurts in your life? Are there disappointments? Are there offenses? Is there any bitterness in your heart that's holding you back from doing what he called you to do or serving him? You can ask the Lord. This is an opportunity to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Even if you just have a spark left, God can use you. Or you feel that you're a broken reed, you're crushed inside. You feel like you cannot stand any longer. But Jesus is right there with you. All you need to do is just return to him. You ask for forgiveness. Just as you don't have to grovel, you don't have to beg. Just say, Jesus, forgive me for not doing what you called me to do. Just forgive me, God. Forgive me. I want to give this to you. And he's there, right there for you. So let's just stand, and you can just open your mouth, and if there's anything you want to give to the Lord, if there's any things you need to confess, if you need to ask the Lord forgiveness, you can just do that right there. He's there for you right now. You just open your mouth, and he says he is faithful and just. When you ask him to forgive your sins, he will forgive you and purify you from all unrighteousness. So let's all stand. So God, we come before you. We come before the cross. It's foolishness to the world, but it is the power of God that with the cross, with your death and resurrection, that we can be forgiven. So God, we confess our sins to you. God, we lay down our hurts, we lay down our disappointments, we lay down all our distractions. And God, we declare that by your blood, by your precious blood, that you have forgiven us and washed us clean. And that by your stripes, you have healed us. We're gonna have a response time, and Jesus wants to let you know he's calling you, that he wants you to have your full heart. He wants your full devotion. He doesn't want just part-time. He wants your full devotion and full heart because He loves you. And He's asking, are you willing to follow Christ's call in your life? Is anyone here willing to be a fool for Christ? Is anyone here willing to be a fool for Christ? Is anyone here willing to do whatever it takes for His kingdom? Say, yes, God, I'm willing to be a fool. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, for your love compels me. So as we sing this worship song, you can just surrender to the Lord. You can just give it to the Lord. You can lay down your fears. You can lay down your doubts. You can lay down your pride and just say that, I'll do whatever it takes. You can respond by just kneeling. You can respond, you see, or you can just come up to the altar. This is an act of sacrifice, as an act of surrender, that yes, Lord, I'm willing to be a fool. Yes, I'm that one. I'm willing to be a fool. I'm willing to do whatever it takes for your kingdom. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross. It's foolishness to the world, but it is the power of God that you saved my life, that you restored our lives. You've healed us. And God, we surrender all to you, God. Use us. Use us for your kingdom. Use us for your glory. Use us so others may receive life. God, I ask for your outpouring of love, your outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon us, that we can give it all for you, that we can persevere, that we can endure for your kingdom. That God, that even with our weaknesses, God, you said in your word that that you use the weak, you use the foolish, you use the lowly, you use the things that are not to nullify the things that are. That we can't boast about ourselves, but we just boast about you. We boast about your power. We boast about your love. We boast about your hope. God, so we want to praise you, and we ask for more of your Holy Spirit, more of your love to fill us, to empower us, so we can finish what you've called us to do here on earth. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Fill us with your presence. Thank you, God. So you can continue to be in God's presence. Continue to be in prayer, the attitude of prayer and the atmosphere of prayer. And also, if you need to go, you can go. And also, if you need some prayers, feel free to come up. If you need some prayer, whether it's about this or you have any needs or sicknesses, we can pray for you.